Okay, we're reading from the Driver Dharma, Chapter 9, Nitya Dharma and Material Science and Material Civilization. I can't really read what the title is, but okay. Om Vijnanatim Varandasya. Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nirtam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhushtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayambhu Pukadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaivija Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Bhakti Center on Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, and it's kind of a very quiet day, especially in the Bhakti Center. Okay, so we're, of course, we've been studying Jiva Dharma together, and I hope you've enjoyed story of different people coming to Krishna consciousness and their enlightenment by the great Vaishnavas that are living in Gauta and Dweep. And we've been following there's many stories here of many people, how they're advancing in Krishna consciousness. One is a zamindar, a Brahmin family, an elderly man who, by good fortune, what else can that be? What fortune to meet great Vaishnavas who can change one's vision and transform one's life, really change one's faith from materialism to spiritual life. Coming to Krishna consciousness means that our goals change, that we have a better goal because we have deeper knowledge and deeper realization. We understand now that the goal is the soul. The goal is what Prabhupada said, we quote that, the perfectional state of the living entity is called the devotee. This awakening, just awakening of our real self actually solves all problems. So that happens by the mercy of the devotee. And the teachings or conceptions that are communicated to one that change one's whole mind and life set. So this Lahari Mahasai, he decides to retire to Gaur Dweep and then live among the the ways of the Vaishnav sages, of the great people that are living there. He decides to live among them, and eventually he, in association with great Vaishnavas who educate him, that the faith comes to a level where one is ready to take full shelter of a guru. Shelter, realizing that to guide my life, by an authority above me, is the real shelter. It's the real thing of fulfillment. It's the real thing of protection. It's the real thing of maintenance. It's the solution to all problems. So he becomes initiated. Now he's a Dvaita Das, and of course we went through the thing where his sons, to no avail, tried to convince him come back home. But he realizes that the particular field of activity, the particular body that one gets, and the relationships one has, relationship to that body, are temporary. And the really only use of the temporary is for the eternal. The temporary is for the eternal. The temporary body is to realize the eternal soul. That's the true use of the body, is to realize the soul. And therefore, when one gets older, for a spiritual person, where the prospects for material enjoyment are exposed as temporary, is to sacrifice that for the eternal. So he's retired, but his friend, upon retirement, his friend, Digambar, he was posted in another country, so to speak. And when he comes home, he's quite disappointed that his friend is not there to enjoy his retirement with him. And more than that, he's shocked that he's become a Vaishnava. Shocked that he's renounced the world. Because the materialist has his faith in controlling the world for one's enjoyment. And therefore, cannot understand someone who's renouncing the world for one's happiness. They must be misled. So that's the division of Digambar, and he's going to come to try to enlighten his friend towards materialism. Digambar is a Shakta, the worships of Durga. Durga is the material energy. And they somehow have faith that the more they can conform the world to one's desires for pleasure and prestige, then the more successful one really is in life. So he comes, and we're in the middle of the dialogue now, where Digambar, the materialist, and Advaita, who is now the renunciate, they're going to discuss So part of the discussion we're up to is where Digambar is just a classic material. You know, you think what is sublime is a certain type of material sophistication. And what's civilized is kind of a manipulation of the material energy for one's egotism and sense enjoyment, kind of in a sophisticated way that includes manners and fine dress. So he comes and they begin to have a discussion on really what is civilized society. And you know, he looks at his friend, and what does he see? He sees that his friend is not so social anymore. You become a Hare Krishna, maybe, and what it's become, one becomes a renunciate. And all of a sudden, you stop doing things. You know, I remember when I started to become Krishna conscious in college, then parties no longer kind of interested me. If you may look at that as strange. I remember, you know, that when I just told my parents that I was going to be celibate, they actually took me to my family doctor. It seemed so uncivilized to them. So so he's looking at his friend, who's now elder, they're elderly. And, you know, what kind of talking? The talking is he's always talking about Krishna. And he has this funny haircut with his head shaved and his sika. And, you know, socially, he's a little bit aloof. So he said he thinks this is uncivilized. But what he asked, Advaita, what is civilization? He says, no, life is short. Purpose of life is to realize God. So simplicity and truthfulness is real civilization. He said, your civilization is civil deception. It's sweet underneath, but the behavior is so wicked. You know, people may be sophisticated and well-dressed and well-mannered, and this is cultured, but what do? They're running off with other people's wives. They're taking intoxication. So even if they have that down, the social responsibility, maybe their civilization, but still, underneath, it's just materialism. And that so Advaita is saying, no, the real civilization is truthless and simplicity. Not that you, it's just like people will think, oh, You know, in a proper culture, you go to the bathroom, you wash yourself with water. People need to go out to the fields. You know, oh, that's uncivilized. And no, civilized is that we have toilets inside. We use toilet paper. We don't take that. You know, we don't take baths after evacuation. The devotees are not civilized. But what is civilization? Civilization is a certain simplicity that facilitates the mode of goodness. Not your sweet words, but your behavior is wicked. So Dwaita says, civilization means sabhyata. It means when you're civilized, you're fit to participate in an assembly of cultured people. And only a real Vaishnava assembly that is free from sin and deception. Real Vaishnava assembly. Where the community that's formed is based on the will of serving God, not my whims. And Dwaita continues that your civilization only conceals your fault. But then this Digambar, he can't fathom what his friend is saying. He says, but you know, the result of modern civilization with its continuous increase of knowledge will be like heaven on earth. And this is what people feel. They feel that modern civilization, technological civilization, industrial civilization, that this will actually solve the problems of life. By our advancement of material knowledge, the problems of life will be solved. I mean, I tell this story a million times. When I was in India, I was living so simply. And then I get back, and my parents take me to the supermarket to buy what you want. And then I was shocked that you can, because when I left, it wasn't like this. You can take the item and just touch it to the counter, and there's a code that registers on the cash register. I remember in surprise, I said, life has advanced so much. Then I caught myself, but the quality of life hasn't improved. Prabhupada, or maybe Prahlad Maharaj, described it as Maya Sukhaya. That it's illusory happiness. Just like almost even much of modern medical advancement of modern medical advancement is just prolongs one's torturous life. People get ill and they prolong their life, but they just prolong their torture. So really, what is actually civilized? And people die in hospitals filled with tubes rather than in their homes surrounded by loved ones. So what is advanced? Prabhupada said simple living and high thinking. That's advanced. And Advaita says that civilization means to adorn oneself in stylish clothes to appeal to others, then prostitutes are more civilized than you are. The only requirement for clothing is that it should cover the body and be clean and free of pleasant odor. Food is faultless when it is pure and nutritious, but you only care whether it tastes good. So what is advanced? A supermarket filled with so much crap? Or farmer's market? The organic food? which existed for thousands of years. So modern civilization reaches a point where they realize that their advancement, so-called advancement in agriculture, has brought them further and further away. Then the ideal becomes organic and natural food. So when you're going back, what you're realizing is advanced is the simplicity that existed before the modern technological advancement. Destroy the purity of the food. Wine and meat are naturally impure, and a civilization based on the consumption of such things, simply a society dedicated to sin, what passes as civilization at present is the culture of Kali Yuga. So, Digambar knows this society will lead to heaven and prosperity when everyone has a car. Just thinking in India now, it's unbelievable that the chowkidar has his own car. It's like America. And what happens? Where Vrindavan was a simple village with dirt roads, now there's traffic jams. So Maya Sukaya, it's illusory happiness. You can drive now into Vrindavan, but you can never find Vrindavan. So real standard of civilization is a society where that's ruled by high conceptions of life that are connected to the soul. So he's saying increase in knowledge, Digambar is saying. So Advaita, you know, he's really trying to enlighten his friend, and he explains that actually what is knowledge? There's paramatika and there's lokika, there's spiritual material. And in modern society, he says what's increasing is lokika, knowledge. And when material knowledge, lokika knowledge increases, people only become attracted to temporary pursuits. And you step by and you know, you look at modern civilization, and you're seeing as it advances practically, it's creating more problems than it solves. With the advance of modern medicine, but there's more diseases. So Advaita says this is greatly misfortunate. And Digambar says, why? Why is this misfortune? And he explains, because the world is like a hotel, an inn. And it's so unfortunate when people get so caught up in improving the condition of the hotel room, but you forget the destination. You're traveling to get someplace. And the places on the way where you rest are only to facilitate you coming to the destination in a healthy way. So he's saying that this is increasing knowledge will make heaven on earth, but what's the increase in knowledge, modern knowledge, doing? It's attracting people to temporary pursuits. And they're losing the understanding of the soul. And without an understanding of the soul, which is pure, which is eternal, which is blissful, without some understanding of the soul, then what you're doing has no value. And Prabhupada gave the example. If you put many, 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 many zeros, it's zero. So if you don't have an understanding of God, you put the one before the zeros, then you have a large number. You have some value. But if it's not geared to realizing the self, then what is the purpose of everything that people are doing? And I would wait to change the subject just a little bit. And he said, what do you mean by material science? Because what he was talking about, society will improve by a certain scientific revolution, by material science. Society is improving, our lives are improving by material science. So, he says, what do you mean by material science? And he said, Thigambar gives a very simple, the pursuit of knowledge, skill, and beauty, great art, great understanding, great books, great knowledge of the world. Digambar says that he's a shakta, a worship of material energy, and it's that tantra. Tantra means to use the material energy, even to enjoy the material energy for your elevation, so-called elevation. So he explains that this is what tantra is, that you're going to be advanced by enjoying the material energy. So Digambar explains that this Tantra Shastra delineates many Prakritika, again, many types of material science. The skill, the beauty, which includes such varied knowledge of military, some medical science, music, dance, astronomy. So he proposes that when you actually have knowledge of all these things, then this is the state of sublimity and liberation. And he says to that Vaishnavas don't seek this knowledge, but the Shaktas, by this knowledge, by material knowledge, will obtain liberation. And so many great books are written. So the way to explain is a very interesting point. He said, no, we also have interest in Vigyan, realization, science. But he said there's two types of knowledge. One is Shudigyan, pure knowledge, which is knowledge of the soul, and one is Vishayagyan, knowledge of material objects. But knowledge of material objects are only useful in relationship to the living entity's conditioned state of the world. So real knowledge is called Shudigyan, pure knowledge. And that pure knowledge is really spiritual knowledge. Prabhupada was once challenged, how many, does the guru know everything? Prabhupada said, yes. And the person said, and how many windows in the Empire State Building? Prabhupada's answer was, how many drops of water in a mirage? The real knowledge of everything is its relationship to God and its relationship to the soul. How does particular understanding help one become happy and realize the self? I remember when Jai Advaita Maharaj, when they had the Bhakti Club at NYU, and he was asked to speak there by Kinchana Krishna. I remember when he came in, he said, so what school of ignorance or something are you studying? And then he said, philosophy. I said, great, now you can't even get a job. What school of ignorance are you studying? Because you can have so much knowledge. But if you don't know who you are, then what is your knowledge? Because your knowledge won't facilitate you becoming satisfied and not happy. So what is the use of it? They learn so many subjects. But what value is it if it doesn't actually give you true understanding of everything? The true understanding of everything is in relationship to God. Because what everything is God's energy. So we can see, someone can have be a scientist and be ignorant. You can have material knowledge and be ignorant. Sanatan Goswami, he was so cultured. He knew Sanskrit, he knew Persian. He was so learned. And he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, people call me learned, but I do not know who I am, where I've come from, and where am I going. What's the use of a car if you don't have a road map? So spiritual knowledge is the road map. The destination. So you have a car and you don't have direction, then what's the use of the car? So unless the vehicles of material science are used to help one awaken the soul, then what value they would profit a man get if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So what Vigyan is, real science, real, if you look at science as the study of reality, it's not only knowing what a thing is, but it's really knowing what a thing is for. Unless you have spiritual knowledge, you don't know what a thing is for. You don't know what beauty is for. You don't know what skill is for. You don't know what civilization is for. What's the purpose? What's the goal of it all? Things have no value if there's no goal. In the hotel room, what's the goal? To rest so you can get to your destination, not to stay in your destination. So knowledge itself that has no relationship to the eternal nature of the soul, which is to serve God, that's the Vaishnava understanding. If it's not connected to that, it doesn't have real meaning. You can go out and get a job, you have a nice family, and you can be so sophisticated, do everything right. But then you die without any real advancement toward the purpose of knowledge and the purpose of the world, which is to understand God, which means to understand yourself. Because what we are is in relationship to God. See, Advaita is explaining all this very beautiful, that the Vaishnavas do not condemn materialists because material knowledge and society and advancement and thing can be used. But if it doesn't have the one before it, the zeros don't have the one, doesn't have the purpose, we have to reflect ourselves. Things will have value in our life if our lives have value. Things will have value in our life if we have the proper objective. And if we don't, then what is the purpose? And that's kind of that story of the scholar or the boatman, where the scholar goes on the boat, and he asks the boatman, do you know astronomy? He said, no, 50% of your line, he's appreciating that. And he sees all the animals, do you know zoology? No, and he looks at the stars. Do you know astronomy? You know. And so much knowledge of things. And he thinks that this is actually valuable. Then the boat drowns, after everything he asks the boatman, the boatman says, no, I don't know that. He says, 25% of your life is wasted, 50% of your life is wasted, 75% of your life is wasted. And then the rain comes, and he's drowning, and the scholar says, I'm drowning. He says, you're not to swim. No, he said, well, 100% of your life is wasted. It's a simple example. And real life is the eternal life of the soul. So the Vaishnava is not condemning material knowledge because it does have a utility. If it has the utility to make one peaceful, but for jivasya tattva jigyasa, but for realizing truth, living by truth, understanding truth. So now, Digambar will just read a little bit. Well, if there's no advance in material knowledge, how could you Vaishnavas conveniently satisfy your material needs and be free to engage in bhajan? You should also make some endeavor for material advancement. So Advaita, of course, he's going to agree with him. Yes, of course. But for bhajan, for spiritual life, that's the purpose. And the great explains how people work in different ways according to their respective inclination. Okay, we'll end for today. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Anybody like to say hello? I don't expect many people here. Most people are probably at some kind of Christmas mass, Christmas function. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's that?
This is Sridharma coming to my house.
Who is it? Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end today. Thanks, Rati. Thanks. Bunch of culpa to this.